What's going on, Tan and J-Man Show Nation? It is Monday night. It's July 21st, 2025. Brand new episode of the Tan and J-Man Show is underway. Episode 453, to be exact, streaming on the IC Sports Network, along with their Twitch channel, their YouTube channel, and the Tan and J-Man Show YouTube channel, and our Facebook page. Hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, hit that notification bell. Do all those good things. Now we got all that said and done. Josh the J-Man Mont joining me on the screen. How we doing, J-Man?
I'm doing all right. How you doing tonight, T-Dog?
Doing good. Doing good. Already got dinner cooked and ate, and that's a rarity before the pod, so feeling good.
Thank you to Chick-fil-A, no free ads, for my meal tonight. So
I cooked some chicken fried rice on the Blackstone. Never had tried it before, and got a thumbs up from the wife, so that's, I guess, all I care about. That's if I pass or fail, thumbs up or thumbs down. So
you're like a modern day Gordon Ramsay.
I wouldn't go
although
that far.
He is still modern day, I guess.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far. I'd like to think I'm nicer than Gordon.
No. Not to me anyway.
Man, I'm gonna really have to work on that, I guess. Jeez.
To the common folk, you are definitely.
No, that's nice. That's I care about that more than you. So,
yeah, I brought some birdie bogey for you. It is baseball related.
Great.
Not a whole lot going on this week in the sports world. Of course, we had the Open finish yesterday, and we had the All-Star break last week. So we might be scrambling over the next 58 minutes to get us. To the end of the show.
I got some things up my sleeve that I didn't prepare you for because I didn't want to.
I like to do
it. I want to throw just get your genuine authentic reactions.
All right. I like it. Anyway, there is only one Major League Baseball team to not have a 100 loss season in their history. Just one. Name that team.
Wow.
You have a 1 in 30 chance to get this one correct.
I know, and I'm not feeling very good about it.
I might even get you a little bit of a hint.
No, don't.
All right.
I don't want any hints, because I do have a team on my mind. It's probably wrong, but there was a team for some reason that just jumped in my mind.
Okay.
Probably wrong, though.
Birdie or Bogey is brought to you by Arlington Public House for great cuisine, cocktails, casual atmosphere, located at 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana.
Yeah, over the weekend, they had another seafood entree special. They had pan-seared halibut. Crisp to golden perfection, nestled on a bed of creamy pesto risotto, topped with a tangle of crispy fried purple cabbage, and finished with a some sort of sauce. I'm not going to try to name because I'm going to butcher it. So you like? I like halibut. And it looks like it's on a bed of rice too. I didn't say that in the caption, but it looks like from the picture there. So,
I think couscous and rice looks very similar.
Okay.
So I think it's couscous.
Okay.
You said couscous earlier.
I did.
Pretty sure.
No, I didn't.
Risotto.
No, I did not. Yeah.
Risotto, yeah. Not couscous. Risotto, I'm pretty
sure.
Yeah,
you're right. That's what it is. It's not
is
rice.
A type of or is a way to do rice. Yeah. I don't know. I don't like rice.
That's definitely what it is because I'm a big rice fan. And that's what it is. Risotto. You're right.
Yeah. Don't know why couscous was on the brain.
I was like, I know I butcher a lot of reads and can't pronounce things, but I'm like, I'm pretty sure I didn't say that.
Yeah. I don't. I have no clue why I thought couscous, but you a pesto fan?
No.
Oh, I love pesto. Man, I love pesto.
Nope. But I've had it numerous times. I mean, I'll eat it. It's not that I despise it.
But. You're not like a sauce guy, even though it's not really. It's not really a sauce. It is kind of like a little bit of a sauce, but yeah, I'm a big fan.
Yeah, good deal. Good deal. So, stop into Arlington Public House right there on Main Street in Rochester. You can't go wrong with anything you order to eat or drink. Open Tuesday through Saturday for dinner. So. All right. Well, you kind of hit on it earlier, J-Man. You talked about the Open finishing up yesterday. And wouldn't you know it, Scottie Scheffler does it again. It's fourth major in just the last 4 years, actually. first Open Championship, and now going into next year, since this is the last major of the year, next year going into the U.S. Open come June, that's going to be the headline. Can Scotty get the Grand Slam? Because all of a sudden, he's one away. Hopefully, it won't take him, you know, 11 years like it took Roy to get it done. But it's really – I hate comparing anybody to Tiger Woods, but it's time to start bringing up some comparisons, because – I don't think golf's seen anything like this since Tiger's consecutive domination. Now, we did see Brooks Koepka go on a run and win four majors pretty quickly, but the difference was Brooks wasn't winning a bunch of tournaments outside the majors. Scotty is.
Yeah. And I saw, was it like almost to the day, like the exact same amount of days in between Tiger's first major and Tiger's fourth is pretty much the exact same amount.
Day, 1,197 days.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. Yep. Yeah, he's dominated this sport for about 2 to 3 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And he's had an unbelievable year. In fact, I even looked up his winnings just from this year. I mean, it's July, and he's made over $19 million in tournaments this year.
And he's a guy that doesn't have a ton of endorsement deals because he's just your average Joe guy, and that's how he likes it. I mean, he was even quoted numerous times this week saying, "Winning in golf isn't what drives me. It's my faith and my family." Mm-hmm. So that, of course, opened up the media and a lot of speculation of, well, could he retire in his prime at some point? You know, I don't know. But he said, you know, he's practiced since he was 2 or 3 years old to become a professional golfer. And now he's not only playing in tournaments he dreamed of playing, but he's winning them. Yeah. So he doesn't take it for granted. I mean, he said he's very grateful. It's just, he's not an arrogant dude.
Yeah.
He loves going to Chipotle, but he said the Chipotle he grew up going to by SMU's campus, he can't go to because he gets recognized. Yeah. But he said there's another one in town, and he wouldn't say where it was. He said he can go to, and absolutely nobody knows who he is. So, but here I pulled up a few different stats I found. Tiger Woods from 2002 through 2005, Tiger had many good years, but that was kind of his 3-year run stretch of a lot of domination. He played in 79 events, had 18 wins. Four of those majors, did not have any players' championships. He had 2.8 strokes gained per round. And Scotty, from 2002 through 2025, 81 events played, 20 wins, four of those majors, two of those players' championships, also 2.8 strokes gained per round.
Dang. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty eye-opening. That's per Data Golf, which only includes 2004 through 2005, it says there, for the events and wins. That was for the strokes gained per round, excuse me. So it doesn't have the strokes gained per round for Tiger for 02, 03, but does 04, 05. A few other stats here. My computer loads. Scotty ended up getting this, but this was posted going into yesterday. Scotty Scheffler is going for his 10th consecutive win when holding the outright 54-hole lead on tour. It's the longest streak since Tiger Woods, who did it 37 consecutive times. I'm throwing out a few here that, even though we're comparing them, still we can't go eye to eye yet. Players to win multiple majors by 4 shots or more in the same season since the first Masters was held in 1934. Ben Hogan did it in 1953. Tiger Woods in 2000. Scottie Scheffler in 2025. Good company to be in.
Yeah.
Scottie Scheffler, he's 111 under par in the majors since the beginning of 2020. That's 46 shots better than anyone else in that time.
Who's second best, you know?
It doesn't say. I would almost venture to be Xander Schauffele. Because I know Xander's has some pretty good stats out there as well. He kind of said yesterday, because a lot of guys were just, you know, giving Scotty their flowers. He said, "It's amazing what Scotty's doing. Sucks for us." Yeah. Pretty much, because everybody's trying to get on Scotty's level. Rory even said that. I mean, he is, I don't know how, 4 years ago, he didn't have a win.
Yeah.
His career. And, I mean, he was a good player in college, wasn't great. And he just, I don't know how he's got so good and become consistently good. And his one weakness for a while was putting. All of a sudden, that's not a weakness anymore.
Yeah.
So, players to win four majors by three strokes or more since the first Masters was held in 1934. Tiger Woods, 7 times. Jack Nicklaus, 6 times. Scottie Scheffler, 4 times.
Pretty good.
And this one's pretty crazy. This was tweeted July 7th, so it's got a little age to it. But Scottie Scheffler at that time was closing in on 150 career weeks at number one in the official world golf rankings. The guy even tweeted, fully acknowledged that it's not the same elevator it was years ago, because the LIV guys aren't even really calculated in the world rankings. They are, but they just fall. It's really weird. But he said if Scottie was number one from now until the beginning of August 2035, so a decade from now, he would still need 10 more weeks to tie Tiger Woods for most all time.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, we haven't seen anybody dominate like this since Tiger, but still some of those stats still shows you that Tiger's on another level.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it does feel like, as you said, with the guys giving him his flowers this week, that there is kind of a similarity to early 2000s. People were just trying to get on Tiger's level.
Yep.
And now it feels like it's kind of the same with Scottie.
Yeah.
Because he's dominated so much.
Like, when I see his name on the first page of the leaderboard on any day, I'm like, yep, he's going to win.
Yeah.
Just because if he pops up there, and, you know, it was the same way. Like, going back, I'm like, why didn't I pick Scottie for the Open? Why don't I pick him for everything? I don't know. But I don't know. He's just something else. It's just hard to explain. I mean, he shot 17 under for this tournament. Rounds of 68, 64, 67, 68. Harris English was runner-up at 13 under. Chris Goddard was 12 under. Wyndham Clark, Matt Fitzpatrick, both major winners. And Huntao Lee were all 11 under. Robert McIntyre, Xander Schauffele, and Roy McIlroy, 10 under, tied for 7th. So good performance by Roy. Bryson DeChambeau tied for 10th at 9 under. Now, why I want to point that out, he shot 78 on Thursday.
Yeah. He was, if he would have just did what he did the final three rounds on, you know, Thursday, he probably would have won.
Yeah. Yeah. And Jason Sobel, who we've had on the Tan and J-Man show years ago, it was after Saturday, I believe it was, or maybe it was after yesterday. He tweeted, somebody learned how to play Lynx golf. Because it didn't look, you know, Bryson, that's why I didn't pick him. I'm like, he struggles in the wind, struggles over there. But he went 78, 65, 68, 64 yesterday. So he brought it. Keegan Bradley, who's the captain for Team USA for the Ryder Cup this year, already said Bryson's going to be on it, which everybody thought he was going to be. If even though he's part of LIV Golf, if you didn't take Bryson DeChambeau, you're nuts. Yeah. But he already came out and said, yeah, he's on it. My boy Ricky Fowler, got to give him a shout. He tied for 14th. So good for Rick.
Top 20.
Top 15 even. So he shot rounds of 69, 72, 70, and 65 yesterday. He actually was tied for first in birdies for the whole week. I'm on the field. He just fortunately threw in a couple doubles there. That's what Ricky does. But he should have done enough. He is playing in the 3M this week. But he should have done enough to get himself in the FedEx Cup playoffs, which is big. Because that means he has got his card for next year.
Oh.
Because his card runs out this year.
So, yikes.
So as long as he gets an FedEx Cup, he's good for at least another year, which, to be honest, he's popular enough. A lot of tournaments would give him sponsorship exemptions anyways to get him in. But that would be embarrassing for him. I mean, he wants to do it the right way.
What would he have done? Would he have gone down to the Corn Ferry?
I don't think so. Our good buddy Aaron Lynch does. I think he would have just taken sponsorship exemptions and tried to play well in those tournaments, see if he couldn't get a win.
Back.
Yeah. So all you got to do now is win one tournament. Then you're set for 2 to 3 years usually, but easier said than done with not a talent on the tour anymore. So overall, an enjoyable championship to watch, enjoyable major to watch. I like waking up and turn it on. Heck, I couldn't sleep. I guess it was Friday morning. I was having trouble sleeping. Had to get up early for work anyways. So I ended up turning it on at 3:30 in the morning, just stayed awake and watched it for a couple hours before my alarm would have went off. So because it's on Peacock, then it goes over to USA Network and then NBC. So, but next up for golf, like I said, FedEx Cup is coming up, playoffs, then the Ryder Cup. But as far as majors are over. But I did get my bold prediction right. One of my 25 bold predictions for 2025. I said all four majors would be won by PGA Tour players.
Uh-huh.
And they were Rory McIlroy, yeah. Scottie Scheffler, J.J. Spahn, Scottie Scheffler. So there we go.
You're probably doing a lot better than I am. I haven't even looked at them.
I don't know. I haven't looked at them lately either. We got some time. I could pull them up real quick just to see how we're doing and see how many we actually know so far.
My first one I got right. Rory would win the Masters.
Yeah, it only took you about a decade.
Yeah.
Let me see here.
I have the Cubs win the NL Central. They're currently tied for first. University of Illinois football will make the college football playoff.
Even though you're hoping they don't.
Even though I'm hoping they kind of don't. we will have a repeat World Series winner for the first time since 2000. Dodgers better wake up quick. They've sort of sleptwalked past 3 weeks or so. Shohei Ohtani will not win MVP. Pete Crow Armstrong, book it. Mets will not make the playoffs. They're currently in a playoff spot. Kasparis Iakachonis is Illinois' highest drafted player since D. Will. That was wrong. He was second highest drafted.
I got to mark that one wrong. I haven't even checked these for a while.
10 Big Ten teams make the tourney. Illinois, Michigan State, Michigan. I had IU in there and Nebraska. So got that one wrong. Quarter of the Big Ten gets the Sweet 16. Did they only get one Big Ten team in the Sweet 16? No, Michigan State got Sweet 16, didn't they?
Michigan State, Purdue.
What about UCLA or Oregon?
Michigan?
Oh, Michigan did as well, yeah.
Three?
Maryland did too. There's four.
Four? Okay.
I got that one right.
There you go.
Got Illinois goes to the first Final Four since 05. Way wrong. Alford finally to IU. Way wrong. One prominent college basketball coach steps down. Wrong.
You had a first-time winner in the NCAA tournament. Wrong.
Wrong. White Sox break their own record. I don't think I'm going to get that wrong. They're hot right now. Rockies might break it, though. Fran McCaffrey is fired. Got that one right. Rodgers decides to return, but is it traded? He didn't get traded, did he? He got released. Half right. Bears win the NFC North. I hope not. Steelers finish under 500 for first time since 03. I hope so. Tua plays all 17. Hope so. Tyreek is traded post-June 1. No. Yankees will miss the playoffs. They're trending that way. NFL team go worst first, potentially. I will finally break through and win our fantasy
football. That's not happening.
Two out of the last three regular season winner right here.
Congratulations.
That shows more skill than it does winning a crapshoot tourney.
Okay.
Yeah. Longevity.
All right. Looking at mine, I said Purdue with 3P as Big Ten champions. They did not. I said they'd be the only team in Indiana to make the tournament. They did. And when I said that at the time, it looked like Indiana was going to make it in January. Said Zach Edey would win NBA Rookie of the Year. He did not.
Who did win it?
Yeah. Don't know. Wasn't him, though.
I'll go look it up real quick.
I said the Oklahoma City Thunder would win the NBA championship. I'm proud of that poll, even though they beat the Pacers. That was in early January.
Yeah.
I know they had the best record at the time. The PGA Tour and LIV will come to a full agreement partnership. I know we still have a few months, but I'm marking that wrong right now. Aaron Rodgers is taking his last snap. He will retire in the offseason. That was wrong. Tyreek Hill will be traded before the start of the season. Wrong. Tennessee Titans will select quarterback Cam Ward, number one overall. Got that right. Travis Kelce will retire after the 2025 season. Yet to be determined. We'll see, I guess.
Ron Castle won Rookie of the Year.
Ah. Denver Broncos will win the AFC West. Don't know. Victor Hovland will win the Masters. Wrong. 2025 will be Deion Sanders' last season at Colorado. Could be.
He's had
health issues going on.
Yeah.
Alabama will fire Kalen DeBoer after the 2025 season.
Could see it.
Someone from the Big Ten will win the 2025 college football playoffs. I'm saying it'll be 3 years in a row. Penn State's going to be heavily favored.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson will be a Las Vegas Raider in 2025. Wrong. He's a Giant. Roy McIlroy will win a major in 2025, just not the Masters. Wrong. The Athletics will make the postseason. Marking that wrong. Mike Trout will stay healthy in 2025. Wrong.
Wrong.
Scott McLaughlin will win the Indy 500. Wrong. Jeez. The Joker will win his fourth MVP in the last 5 years. Wrong. Jeez.
There's a theme here.
Jeremiah Smith will win the Heisman Trophy. Don't know that yet. Yeah. Purdue football will regain the old Oaken bucket. Not feeling very confident about that one. Players from the PGA Tour will win all four majors. Got that right. And the NBA will announce the return of the Seattle Supersonics. Probably not, but still holding out hope.
Yep.
So, not doing so hot this year.
No, we stink at a lot of things, but especially when it comes to they're bold. They're bold. They're the probability rate of bold predictions is very, very low to begin with. So
yeah. I got some NFL little things to talk about here. I found some stuff on ESPN.com. One of these I'm reading for the first time right here with you. So this is judging 2025 NFL offseason overreactions. One of them says all four NFC North teams will make the playoffs.
NFC North? Okay.
Yeah. First, so I was thinking Lions, AFC Vikings. North. I know. Lions, Vikings, Packers, Bears. Verdicts, overreaction.
Yeah, I'd say it's an overreaction. Although I did have the Bears making the playoffs, I could see Minnesota taking a step back. You don't know what you're going to get from J.J. McCarthy at all, especially coming off, you know, an injury last year. And he's technically a rookie at this point. They're kind of a wild card at this point, but I would say they don't make playoffs. I could see Green Bay taking a step back too.
Yeah, they're tough to figure out.
They are. I don't know if I believe in Jordan Love yet.
The next one, the Chiefs streak of 9 straight AFC West titles. That makes me just want to throw up. Will come to an end. The verdict, overreaction.
I think it could happen. I wouldn't say that's an overreaction. I think Chargers have a good shot. I think Denver, should they continue to build that momentum they had at the end of last year, could absolutely win that division. So yeah. I don't think that's an overreaction at all.
I mean, one of my bold predictions, of course, me, was Denver wins the AFC West. But
plus, they're dealing with Rashee Rice. He'll be suspended for a few games. Definitely.
I think either Denver or the Chargers do win the AFC West. Mm-hmm. Now, I think Kansas City makes the playoffs. I think the West could once again have 3 teams make it. And I think the Raiders will be better. I don't think they'll be playoff good, but I think Pete Carroll will make them better. I don't believe in Geno Smith.
No, much better coached, much more well coached, I should say, there in Vegas.
At least 3 of the Browns' current quarterbacks will start games for them this season. The verdict, not an overreaction.
That's not an overreaction. I'd say all 4 eventually start.
Will they keep 4?
I have no idea. I just think 4 of them, the 4 different quarterbacks will start games for them. I think Flacco starts a game. I think Gabriel starts a game. I think Sanders starts a game. And then Pickett will probably start a game too. One of those guys will be practice squad, and I bet it'd be Sanders, which would be classic.
And the $46 million man is going to miss the whole season.
Yeah. Awesome. Addition by subtraction.
Yep. It's the Commanders' turn to win the NFC East. A verdict, not an overreaction.
Overreaction.
I think so too. Eagles. I think they take a step back.
I do too. And Eagles are still far and away the best team in that division.
Yep. Yep. And I don't like them. I still think the Cowboys have talent.
They do. I think their head coach hire was baffling in a sense, and I don't really believe in Dak Prescott all that much, but do have some talent.
And one more here: Baker Mayfield will lead the Buccaneers to another division title and land a massive new contract. Verdict: not an overreaction.
Yeah, I think that is a pretty spot on. That division's very, very weak. And I think he puts up huge numbers again. Godwin's back, I believe. He ended up signing back with him. Obviously they have Mike Evans. It's good team down there.
Yep. Yep. Found another list. Interesting today. ESPN ranks the NFL rosters from 1 through 32. Did you see this by chance?
I have not.
So I'll go through every team real quick and, say what the ranking, their strength, their weakness, and their X factor real quick. Number 1, hard to disagree with this when you look at the roster, Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Biggest strength, Lamar, quarterback. Huh. Biggest weakness, they said, is guard. And the X factor will be their left tackle, Ronnie Stanley. Hmm. Number 2, defending champ, Philadelphia Eagles. Their biggest strength is offensive tackle. Biggest weakness, edge rusher. X factor are their guards.
Eagles had so many sacks last year. How could edge rusher be a big question mark? They lose somebody?
Let's see. Josh Sweat, free agency. Brandon Graham retired.
Traded,
all gone. Leaving Nolan Smith Jr. as the only established player on the depth chart.
He's good. But, I guess that is kind of a question then. Mm-hmm.
Detroit Lions, number 3. Biggest strength running back. My dad would like hearing that because when he filled in for a few weeks, he said Jahmyr Gibbs is his go-to, would be his go-to guy in fantasy football.
Fantasy? Yeah, that's a good call there, Big E.
Between him and Montgomery, that's a pretty good duo.
Yeah.
Biggest weakness, interior offensive line, X-Factors, offensive coordinator, John Morton.
Yeah, new OC there. I think a big X-Factor is whether you can get Hutchinson back healthy, too. Throw that in the mix.
Number 4, the Buffalo Bills. Biggest strength, Josh Allen, reigning NFL MVP. Biggest weakness, safety. X-Factors, wide receiver and tight end. Wide receiver, Keon Coleman and tight end, Dalton Kincaid.
Kincaid.
Kincaid. I read it. I was like, that's not right. Kincaid. Yeah.
You can't get Tennessee off your brain. Yeah.
Zach Edey. Zach Edey with the block. Yeah.
Keon Coleman didn't have a great rookie year for him last year, but super talented. And Kincaid's a really good tight end.
Number 5, Kansas City Chiefs. Big strength, quarterback, of course. Biggest weakness, offensive tackle. And they gave Jawan Taylor a 4-year, $80 million deal 2 years ago, but it hasn't worked out. X-Factor wide receiver, Rashee Rice, pending disciplinary action from the league. Yep.
So seems like offensive line's been a concern for him for a few years now. Seems like they would have gotten that fixed, especially when you have your prize there in the backfield getting knocked around all game.
He gets beat up pretty good.
Now some of it's on him because he runs all over the place back looking there
for that and, big play. Yep. Number 6, honest to God, was a surprise to me, the Denver Broncos. I mean, I love their defensive roster, but this surprised me.
Yeah, they had great free agency. I loved what they did picking up those San Francisco guys.
Yeah, as long as they can stay healthy.
Yeah.
Biggest strength, offensive line. They do have a pretty good – after years of suck, that offensive line, they've done a good job building that with Bowles, Powers, Wattenberg, Meinerts, and McGlinchey. Biggest weakness, wide receiver. I agree. I mean, Cortland's solid. I've never been sold as him as a one, but he's been a one for the Broncos for a long time. Yeah. But then who's going to step up as two? Is it Marvin Mims Jr.? Is it your Illini rookie there, Pat Bryant? Yeah. Or it could be Troy Franklin, who they took last year, or Devon Vaile, who kind of was their number 2 last year. X-Factor's Marvin Mims. So number 7, Washington Commanders. Biggest strength, off-ball linebacker. Biggest weakness, safety. X-Factor, cornerback, Marshon Lattimore. Number 8, LA Rams, biggest strength wide receiver, which is crazy without Cooper Kupp, but Devontae Adams is there with Nacua.
Yeah.
Biggest weakness, off ball linebacker. X Factors is Spates, it says.
Where'd Kupp end up? Seattle.
Yeah. That's right. Number 9 is the Cincinnati Bengals. Biggest streak, wide receiver. Biggest weakness, should just say defense.
The whole defense.
Secondary. And X-Factor, defense coordinator Al Golden. I forgot they got him from Notre Dame.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that. Huh. Yeah, that defense, it feels like their offense is going to have to put up 30-plus points a game to win games, which is probably not a sustainable recipe, but we'll see.
I'll start flying through this because we're only on number 10. So 49ers, number 10, biggest shrink, tight end. Biggest weakness, defensive tackle, and X-Factor, health of running back Christian McCaffrey. And wide receiver Brandon Ayuk, both of them.
Yeah.
Number 11, Minnesota Vikings. Biggest strength, defensive front. Biggest weakness, cornerback, X-Factor, J.J. McCarthy.
Mm-hmm.
Number 12, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Biggest strength, wide receiver. Could you be able to say that for like a decade?
Yeah.
Biggest weakness, edge rusher, X-Factor, to fallout from Tristan Wirfs knee injury. Number 13, Houston Texans, biggest strength, edge rusher, biggest weakness, interior defensive line, X-Factor, rookie wide receiver, Jaden Higgins. Because Tank Dell still had that serious knee injury late
brutal.
Season.
Brutal. Yeah, well, that was in the playoffs, wasn't it?
I think you're right.
Or no, was it?
4. This is late season. So
It was maybe the last game of the season or second to last game of the season or in the playoffs. I don't remember who they played in the playoffs.
Either. I don't either.
They would have hosted a game. So
yeah. Number 14, Green Bay Packers. Biggest strength, safety. Biggest weakness, cornerback. X-factor linebacker, Edrin Cooper. Number 15, Chicago Bears. Biggest strength, offensive line. When's the last time you could say that about the Bears? Biggest weakness, running back. X-factors, Caleb Williams.
You can get away with a bad running back group in today's NFL.
Can't get away with a bad quarterback.
No. Nope.
Not saying Caleb Williams is bad. Settle down, everybody. Just, he's going to have a good year. Number 16, LA Chargers. Biggest strength, offensive tackle. Biggest weakness, interior defensive line. X-factors are cornerbacks. They named three of them, so I'm just going to say cornerback. Number 17 is Arizona Cardinals. That's kind of a surprise. Biggest strength, interior defensive line. Biggest weakness, off-ball linebacker. X-factors, edge, Josh Sweat. So that's where that's where he went from the Eagles. 18, Dallas Cowboys. Biggest strength, wide receiver. Biggest weakness, running back. X-factor, the right side of the offensive line. Number 19, Pittsburgh Steelers. Biggest strength, edge rusher, T.J. Watt. Biggest weakness, offensive tackle. X-factor, the secondary. Number 20, Seattle Seahawks. Biggest strength, interior defensive line. Biggest weakness, offensive line. X-factor is wide receiver Cooper Kupp. Because Smith and Jigba can't do it all for Sam Darnold. So. 21, New England Patriots. Biggest strength, secondary. Biggest weakness, wide receiver. X-factor, tackles. Number 20.
Forgot about the Patriots.
Number 22, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Where are the Dolphins? That's what I'm wondering. Biggest strength, edge rusher. Biggest weakness, offensive line. X-factor, rookie wide receiver / cornerback, Travis Hunter. Number 23, Las Vegas Raiders.
Dang.
Biggest strength, defensive line. Biggest weakness, secondary. X-factors, center, Jackson Powers Johnson. Here we are, number 24 of the Miami Dolphins.
I'd like to guess what there are. Oh, man, now I'm struggling. Weakness is offensive line. It's just got to be the entire secondary. Secondary, that makes sense. X-factor has to be Tua's health, right? It
says the running game.
That's a stupid one. strength. Wide receiver?
Yeah.
Okay. I would have put, honestly, the X-factor could be, my opinion, Jalen Phillips, Bradley Chubb, getting them healthy to add to Chop Robinson. But it's really hard to disagree with where they are in the ranking, though, because they
they're more talented lost than that.
I don't really know, though, honestly. We'll
but
see.
I look at their projected starters on the defense side of the ball. Like, since I'm not a Dolphin fan, of course, I'm like, I haven't heard a lot of these.
Yeah. Secondary-wise is brutal. Now, Minka Fitzpatrick helps.
Yeah.
But cornerback wise, they don't really have anything. Linebacker Cater Kohu.
Yep. Storm Duck. What a name.
Yeah, he's a second year guy. Cam Smith was a second round pick a few years ago, and he's been a bust. They're still talking to like Rasul Douglas. Linebacker, they'd have like Jordan Brooks, who had a fantastic year last year. I think Tyrell Dodson's still there.
You got it.
And then like Chop, Jalen Phillips, Bradley Chubb would be edge. And then Zach Sealer might be the most underrated defensive player in the game. He'll be in the interior.
Yep. And Kenneth Grant as well. They said
first round pick. Yeah. From this year, from Merrillville, Indiana.
And the only guy we haven't mentioned, I don't think, unless you did when I was looking at it, Ashton Davis is the other safety with Minka.
Oh yeah. Got him from the Jets.
They did said non-starter to no linebackers, Willie Gay and KJ Britt.
Willie Gay and KJ Britt.
Or non-starters to know. Just they did that for every team, but
okay.
I didn't go over that for everybody. Colts 25th, biggest strength, interior defensive line, biggest weakness, quarterback.
It's hard to disagree.
X factor, the additions in the secondary. Chavarius Ward, a corner, and safety Cameron Bynum. 26th, Atlanta Falcons, biggest strength, running back, Bijan Robinson. Biggest weakness, cornerback, X-factor, Michael Penix Jr.
Yeah.
Number 27, Giants. Biggest strength, defensive front. Biggest weakness, offensive line, X-factor, safety, Tyler Newbin. 28th, Tennessee Titans. Biggest strength, interior defensive line. Biggest weakness, the rest of the front seven. And X-factor to the offensive line. 29, the Jets. Biggest strength, cornerback. Biggest weakness, quarterback. X-factor, tackles. 30, the Panthers. Biggest strength, wide receiver. Biggest weakness, safety. X-factor for 2025, edge rusher, Nick Skorton. Oh, of course he is. God dang it. 31, Cleveland Browns. Biggest strength, edge rusher. Biggest weakness, quarterback. X-factor, the entire rookie class. And 32, last, the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, biggest they stank.
Edge rusher. Biggest weakness, quarterback. X-factor, tackles.
Who's their head coach?
Kellen Moore.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Couldn't remember.
Yep. So, yeah, I thought that was interesting because training camps start the end of this week. A lot of people report. So,
we're getting that. I think the Hall of Fame game is it's not Sunday. I think it's the week after, maybe.
I think you're right.
It is Sunday.
That movie on Facebook. Miami yeah. X-Factor Tyreek's pending paternity suits.
Yeah, he's got a lot of them out there. So, we'll see how all those turn out.
Yep.
Thursday is the Hall of Fame game. July 31st.
I got one more list.
All right.
And then we'll move on to some baseball talk and our weekly segments. This is the USA Today came out a report ranking all Big Ten stadiums.
Huh?
Which I thought was interesting. What do you think they rank number one?
Big House.
Big House number four.
Four.
Which I've heard from people. I've never been there. I've only been to Purdue, Indiana, and Illinois. You've been to Wisconsin, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I've been to Purdue, Illinois, Wisconsin.
Okay. I've heard from people at Michigan, like, it's cool because of how big it is.
Yeah.
But in terms of loudness, they said it surprisingly doesn't get as loud as you think.
Yeah, it's probably the way it's set up because it's like it's in the ground and then it goes,
I'm sure on the field it's stupid loud.
But. Yeah. Autzen.
That's number three.
Okay. Penn State.
Number two. I thought that'd be number one.
Ohio Stadium.
Yep. Yep. The horseshoe. I thought they'd be number one, but.
Yeah.
But they are, I mean, since 2016, they're 55-3 at home. Ohio State.
So. Kinnick has to be up there. It's really nice. I've never been there, but it
Kinnick's
looks
number
nice.
Six,
okay.
Which I remember a lot of Purdue players said that was the toughest place, even though they got a win there in 2012. They said that was the toughest place to play because they're literally the fans are right on top of the pitch.
Yeah.
Number five is Washington Husky Stadium.
Could see that.
Number seven is Camp Randall. Number eight, Memorial Stadium, Nebraska. I have seen Nebraska's. Big Ten has four Memorial Stadiums now. Nebraska. Number nine is L.A. Memorial Coliseum, I guess. They call CM, not stadium. That's USC. Number 10, Spartan Stadium. That kind of surprised me. I know my dad's been there. He says nothing great. But when
How's
you have
the Rose Bowl not up there?
Well, you got to think about it. The Rose Bowl is great for the Rose Bowl, but for UCLA games, it's terrible.
That's a good point. Coliseum's not that good, though.
No, I mean, it's number nine. At one time, it was a top-tier stadium. So when USC – okay, back when Reggie Bush, Matt Leinart, and those guys were there, it was. But
yeah, long not for time. A while, though.
Number 10, Spartan Stadium. Number 11 is Huntington Bank Stadium, which is Minnesota. It's also the newest stadium until Northwestern gets completed next year. Number 12 is Memorial Stadium, Illinois. Number 13 is Ross-Ade Stadium.
Very
similar. Number 14 is Memorial Stadium, Indiana, which, yeah, I thought Illinois-Purdue you could shift back and forth depending on the year. Indiana at 14, I think that's based on last year.
Probably, yeah.
Because last year they drew a single-season total record of 386,992 fans. I mean, a lot of times they don't even get half. Number 15 is SECU Stadium, Maryland. Number 16 is SHI Stadium, Rutgers. Number 17 is the Rose Bowl. Number 18 is Ryan Field, the old one. Right now they're playing a soccer stadium. Next year we'll see their new one. So
yeah.
Yep. I know we both don't have a ton to base that off of, so we've only been to three each.
Right.
Still on my bucket list to get all these, but it's just getting harder and harder because I keep adding more and more.
Well, yeah, and they're pricing everyone out too.
That's true.
Games are so stupidly expensive, but Yeah, as far as like, yeah, I mean, I've been to Ross-Ade Memorial Stadium in Illinois almost, I would say, equal amount of times, pretty close. Mm-hmm. Maybe Memorial Stadium a little bit more. And they're similar as far as atmosphere goes. I haven't been to Memorial Stadium in 9 years. I used to go every year, but Ross-Ade, love what they did with the renovations. Looks really nice. But Camp Randall was okay. It was a bad Illinois team that played there when I saw them. And the atmosphere was, it was 11 a.m. Central Time game, so the atmosphere stunk. Students were all hungover and didn't show up. And then I think they got up 30 in the fourth and they all left. And then it became a game after that. But
I think jump around is a big factor of why it's even as it is, probably.
Which that was kind of cool to see. But I don't remember a whole lot from the stadium.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, yeah, we can either move on this day or baseball next.
Yeah, I'll get you educated here real quick.
I need it.
On this day in 1884, the first ever test cricket match is played at Lord's. All a game.
All right.
On this day in 1945, the Detroit Tigers and Philadelphia Athletics played a 24-inning 1-1 tie.
Wow.
On this day in 1963, who won the PGA Championship, men's golf?
Go with 63. Gary Player.
Jack won his first.
He came on the night. I'm like, I thought he was still in college for some reason, 63. Okay.
Who won on this day in 1968?
Jack.
Julius Boros.
Never heard of him.
He became the oldest winner of a major at the time. On this day in 1973, Hank Aaron hit his 700th career homer.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Yeah. In 1975, Billy Martin was fired as the Texas Rangers manager. That guy has been fired more times than he can count.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know why he kept getting a job, to be honest. I don't know.
Who won the British Open on this day in 1979?
79 Open. Let's go with Tom Watson.
Seve Ballesteros.
Ah, yeah. He was a good one.
Who won in 1985 the British Open?
Let's go Seve again.
Sandy Lyle.
Ah, I'm not good with my open trivia.
What about 1991?
All right. How about Faudo?
Nick Faudo? Ian Baker Finch.
Ah, yeah, commentator. All right.
Who on this day in 1996 who won British Open?
One day.
This guy was an only time major, just a one time major.
It wasn't day. Oh, gosh. Oh, give it to me. I don't even know who's a one time major.
Tom Lehman.
Oh, I didn't even know he won a major.
He was the first American to win at Lytham since Bobby Jones 70 years earlier.
Wow.
On this day in 2002, who won the British Open?
All right. Now, okay. 2002. Ernie Els.
Ernie Els is correct. He won two of them.
Yep.
On this day in 2013, who won the British?
Oh, that was Phil. I remember that one well.
That was Phil.
Didn't think he'd ever get the Open done. So.
What about 2019?
Crud. Who was 2019? Was that Francesco Molinari?
It was Shane Lowry.
That you idiot, Tanner. Yeah. At the course they played at, he dominated it.
I was going to say it. I think we talked about this last
week. Yeah, we did. Molinari's 2018. Idiot.
Who won last year's?
Idiot. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Who won the Open last year? Is that Xander?
It was Xander. You got there.
I knew he won two majors last year, but I started to sweat. I'm like, which one's the
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That's on the stay segment, which you brought to my like is every Mooney Wood Laser Crafts. Mooney Wood Laser Crafts is a veteran owned and operated woodcraft shop based out of Texas with Indiana grassroots. They provide 100% hand cut custom designs to fit your needs, and their pieces are a great addition to any home, office, or man cave. You can see some of their recently completed projects by visiting them at Mooney Wood Laser Crafts on Instagram and on Facebook. And if you let them know the Tan and J-Man Show sent you, you get 15% off your first signed order. And Thad was back in his stomping grounds of Rochester, Indiana. Dropped off. He was nice enough to drop these off at my parents' house. Now I just got to get some blank hats to put them on. Got a nice little Tan and J-Man Show patch.
That's pretty cool.
That he lasered there. It's got a sticky on the back. Got a Mooney Wood Laser Crafts patch. We got a Boiler Breakdown patch. Mooney Wood Laser Crafts sticker with a nice little QR code for the Instagram channel. Another Tan and J-Man Show patch. And this one's really cool, a custom Larry Clisby bullseye patch.
That's cool.
Late, great Purdue basketball
player. Bullseye.
Thank you, Thad. I will be putting these to good use. I just got to go buy some blank hats, and you'll start seeing them popping up on this show. Go in rotation with this one. So, you want blind rankings real quick before we get into baseball, since you know I'm a procrastinator and came up with the list on the fly here. Got a list of All-Star Game MVPs.
All right.
And I want you to rank them however you want. I don't care how you like the guys, career, etc. But I'm pulling them from, we're going to go from 05 on.
Okay.
Starting with 2009, Carl Crawford.
CC, fast guy. I'm gonna base this on the player they were, the career. He made a ton of money. His son is one of the top prospects in the Phillies organization. Yes, his son, Justin. he had a great career with the Rays, had some good years with the Red Sox, and then went to L.A. and didn't do a whole lot. I'm going to put him at four.
Four? Okay. Mm-hmm.
He had a good career, though.
2017, Robinson Cano.
Great career. It'll forever be tarnished due to the steroid suspension. But again, just basing it off the career, I'm going to put him at two. I think he would have been a Hall of Famer if it were not for the steroids.
2021, Vlad Guerrero Jr.
Hasn't been around that long. He's had two really, really good years. I'm going to put him five.
2022, Giancarlo Stanton.
I'm going to put him three. Injuries have kind of derailed a career that I think if he would have stayed fully healthy, we'd be talking about him as a 600 or 700 homer kind of guy. But he's not that same guy, unfortunately, too, because he may be the most raw power we've ever seen. In this era, I should say, of baseball. But
physical specimen for baseball,
yes,
for sure.
Definitely.
Maybe if he would have stayed as Mike, maybe his career.
Maybe. Would have. Yeah, maybe.
We'll never know. And this year's MVP, Kyle Schwarber.
All right, well, I have to put him at one. He's number one in my heart. And that will that decision to non-tender him after the 2020 season for the Cubs will forever haunt Jed Hoyer, because and again, it could have been a change of scenery thing. Maybe he needed to get away from the Cubs to really sort of take off, but he's the guy that has an outside shot to get to 500 homers if he keeps on his current trajectory. So happy for him. Wish he could have done it with the Cubs, but and I wish he was doing it in the American League and not the National League, but is what it is at this point.
Yeah, if the Cubs knew the DH rule was coming.
Yeah, that definitely, because 2021, remember, 2020, they had the DH just because it was COVID, weird COVID. 2021, they didn't, though. It was pitchers hitting
you're
then.
You're right.
So it was kind of bad timing with all that. But if the DH was going to stick around, I think they would have tendered him a contract. But
it is crazy to think out of that core bunch from the 2016 team, he might end up having the best career.
He, I would say, is already at the best career. Yeah. I mean, Rizzo's right there. I could say Rizzo currently is at the best career.
Myers was an all-star this year.
He was. Yeah, good for him. Started. Kind of, bounce back. KB can't stay healthy. Rizzo's done at this point. He's not even on a team. Addison Russell fizzled out after some allegations against him came out. Jorge Soler's still hanging around, but he's not doing a whole lot anymore. That elite core kind of fizzled out kind of quietly, unfortunately.
And that's the Blind Ranking segment, which is brought to you by, like it is every week, Performer Print 2 Promo Group. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for your next trade show, company picnic, or sales meeting in 2025, Performer Print 2 Promo Group has over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs, so you need to look no further. Let them be your one-source print and promotional company today by giving Barbara Van Weinsberg a call at 574-210-3815. Now we can talk some baseball, and my question for you, J-Man, is what did you think of the swing-off for the All-Star game?
I didn't watch it, I like it. I mean, it's better than ending in a tie like they did in 2002 in Milwaukee where Bud Selig said, that's it, that's it.
That was awful.
So it was a cool little wrinkle. I guess they had to pick the participants before the game, which played a role. But National League ended up winning because Schwarber did his thing. And I saw some idiots on Twitter saying, this is how they should decide regular season games. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
You kind of sound like Hank Hill there a little bit.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I think it's very, very good for the All-Star game. I do want to put you on blast a little bit for your home run derby.
Oh, awful. Awful. I didn't put any money on him. I want to go on the record. I did not put any money on him.
Jazz Chisholm, did he hit three?
Three.
He hit three.
Popping ground balls like me.
I think I said on the show last week, I can't imagine a scenario where he finishes anywhere but last. Yep. And I was just kind of joking at the time, but it was a poor performance. But the big dumper ended up winning it. My guy didn't even make it to the finals, so not that much better. But, baseball, 10 days till the trade deadline. So I think stuff will start really heating up this week. In fact, this will be the J-Man's Book and Prediction of the Week. I think the Cubs make a significant trade within the next 7 days. Mm. I don't know who it's going to be, but I feel it in my bones. They need it. They need it because the Brewers, man, they have erased a 6.5 game deficit because they have gone 35-12 over their last 47 games. It's not even like the Cubs been playing some pretty good baseball here the past month or so. So I can't really complain about the Cubs at all. The Brewers they have this devil magic like the Cardinals used to. They're picking up guys off the scrap heap from the White Sox. White Sox and Andrew Vaughn down to the minors earlier this year. The White Sox, Brewers end up trading for him just as a change of scenery guy. He's hitting 390 for him. The Dodgers just decided to play dead when they played the Brewers and go 0-6 against them over the past 2 weeks. So now we have a very tight race, both teams tied for the best record in baseball, I believe, unless the Tigers won last night. Tigers have a half-game lead on best record in baseball over the Cubs and Brewers. But the Cubs can't worry about anyone else. Just worry about continuing to play your game, and it'll be all right because I don't think what the Brewers are doing are sustainable, hopefully. And I've been saying that about the Cardinals, too, and finally they've started to wake up a little bit, and I think they'll end up being sellers at the deadline. But, Cubs have played some good baseball. They've won four of their last five, getting some really good pitching help. Matt Boyd has been fantastic. Shota Imanaga's past two starts. It's around 14 innings, only giving up one run over those 14 innings. Getting great offensive performances. Pete Crow Armstrong continues to do his thing. Seiya Suzuki, Michael Bush, Kyle Tucker, Dansby Swanson. Desperately need a third baseman, though. Matt Shaw has not been good over there. And I think that'll be something that they really look at when it comes to the trade deadline. Eugenio Suarez, I've been on that train for about 4 weeks now. Unfortunate timing that they swept the Cardinals, although it's great that the Cardinals got swept. The Diamondbacks are the ones that swept them over the weekend, so they're kind of staying in it for another day. And I think this will push them to about the deadline before the Diamondbacks decide to trade some of their guys away, because I think Eugenio Suarez should be number one candidate, or their number one on their wish list. they better make a trade for two starting pitchers, a reliever, a third baseman. They need some bench help as well. So yeah, I think they do make a deal over the weekend. And J-Man's Book of Pitchers Week brought to you by Travis Watchering Insurance Agency for life, home, auto, business, renters, workers' comp, and farm insurance. Contact Travis 219-869-4561. Book it!
Do you have anything else, any other kind of predictions you want to forecast for the second half? Whether it trade, whether it's a team falls, a team rises, some stuff just to look out for, I guess.
Man, that's such a hard question. Watch out for the Cincinnati Reds. I've been saying this for a while now that I think.
Who are you?
I know. I've been saying it really since the end of May that I still think they're the team that scares me most in the National League Central, although that's kind of stupid looking at the standings now with the Brewers tied with the Cubs and the Reds 7.5 out. But uber talented. I think they'll make a trade for a bat or two. They should. The pitching's good enough. I think they are a team that can get hot in the second half and win some ball games. Dodgers will be fine. They've played like garbage here the past couple weeks, and they're still 16 games over. I think they kind of get bored in the regular season.
And that might be a good thing for them, honestly.
Might be, yeah. Kind of wake them up a little bit. It's kind of like Brooks Koepka in the middle rounds of a major, and then he turns it on the final four or five holes.
Didn't
he's
this
even
year.
Said that, hasn't he?
He's fighting with some injuries, I think.
Yeah. Padres are hanging around, though. I think they're a good team. Giants have really started to fall back and not play some good baseball, but I think they're good enough to make a run for a wild card spot. Seattle is another team that's kind of hanging around 53-46. I think they are very capable of winning that American League.
How many homers is Cal getting up with?
54. I think he hit 16 in the second half.
He passes. He passes the record for most single
yeah,
homer catcher.
I would say he does. Yeah. Tigers have an 11-game lead in the Central. No one else is over 500 except them. Blue Jays still playing very good baseball. They're just behind the Tigers for best record in baseball. Three games up on the Yankees. Boston, I think they kind of fall back a little bit. They're 5 games out. Rays are 6.5 out. Braves are done. I'm putting a fork in them. 12 games under 500, 12.5 out of the East. Phillies and Mets are kind of button heads right now. Half game separates them in that league. So really good races all around baseball except the NL and the AL Central, should they say. Everything's decided within 4 games. So I think we'll see some major trades happen within the next week and definitely come next Thursday.
How many wins do the White Sox end up with? How many wins do the Rockies end up with?
I'm going to say the White Sox end up 60-102. And I say the Rockies end up 40-122. I think they break the record for most. But you look at it, man, the Rockies have to win to avoid breaking that record. They have to win 18 games in the second half. They won 24 in the first half, and there's more games in the first half than there is in the second half.
They're going to get to a point. They're going to do what everybody else out of the race does because they haven't already. They're going to call up their dudes from farm.
Yeah.
Well, actually, they might get better.
I was about to say that might give them a little jolt of energy. But, looking forward for baseball to really heat up in the second half. This is when it gets fun, especially heading into the trade deadline. We'll see some pretty big moves here.
Hit me with that birdie or bogey one more time, please.
There is only one active team in Major League Baseball to not have a 100 loss season in their history.
This team popped in my head. I've been trying to think throughout the podcast of anybody else, so I'm sticking with this team, Atlanta Braves.
That's a very good guess, but you are incorrect. The team is the Los Angeles Angels.
On my radar.
They set a record for most losses in a season last year, 99. The Braves last lost 100 games in 1988.
I knew it wasn't in our lifetime, so yeah. That's what I was basing off
of. The Dodgers and Cardinals last lost 100 in 1908, Yankees 1912, Phillies 61, Red Sox 65, Blue Jays 79, Giants 85, Braves 88, Cleveland 91, Mets and Padres 93, Brewers in 02, Rays in 06, Mariners 2010, Cubs 12, Houston 13, Twins 16, Tigers 19, then a bunch of teams tied in 21, 22, 23, 24.
That's crazy with Houston. Think what they did after that. They've done after that.
Yeah. Wow. It's pretty incredible what they've been able to sustain there after a terrible year. So thanks for watching the Tan and the J-Man Show. We will be back at it next Monday with another episode. Have a fantastic week, everybody.